Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast, brought to you by JB Weld. You know, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, NAPA, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
Well, in this show, we'll get into some coming up. We'll preview some stuff coming up at Pebble Beach. We'll get into some of the auction stuff we think is kind of interesting. Do a deep dive into this new Z06, not out yet, 2023, with the VET and some of the nuts and bolts about that car. Nissan, Nismo.
We'll touch on Volkswagen ID4. They're all electric car.
First, I'll tell you about NordVPN. I know Chris is all over this.
Yeah, so I just got it because, remember, I got hacked last week, and I think of myself as fairly tech-savvy, so I was really surprised that it even happened to me, and it was just such a hassle to get all my accounts back and everything, so it's just nice to have that peace of mind using NordVPN.
Well, public Wi-Fi is a hotbed for hackers, and they'll steal your data. You use NordVPN, you use it on your phone, your laptop. It gives you peace of mind, especially while you're traveling. VPNs have a reputation of slowing down your internet speed, not with NordVPN. It's the fastest VPN in the world. You won't even notice it's running, and you can put NordVPN on up to 6 devices. 30-day money-back guarantee. So go to nordvpn.com/carcast or use the code CARCAST to get a 2-year plan plus a bonus gift as well with a huge discount at NordVPN. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I chose me again. This is CarCast, Matt Crowell. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good because our friends over at Galp have been calling me today, and they said, we've got your new Mustang Mach 1.
Ooh.
I said I can go over there tomorrow, pick it up.
Mmm.
And our buddy Steve McCord, he drove it from one building to the other. I was like, sure, go ahead, drive it. And he texted me, he's like, this thing's freaking cool. And I was like, all right, it's good. This should be fun.
You got the gray or the blue?
I got the gray. I got the fighter jet gray.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 480 horsepower. I got a manual transmission, just a regular manual.
Six?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got the high-performance pack, which has the tuned suspension, the larger wheels and tires. It has the wing with a little gurney flap on it, mm-hmm. and a little bit extended of the front splitter, and then it recalibrates the MagnaRide, right, which is all adjustable.
Mm-hmm. Do you go with the God? What was I thinking of on that car? So you wouldn't have a sunroof or a moonroof on it. Don't need that weight up top. You got a cloth leather interior. What do we got?
So it's a leather interior. It's the fighter jet gray, and it's got an appearance package. And the appearance package is only unique to that color. It's the black stripes with the orange pinstripe and the matching orange calipers. And on the inside, there's some orange striping, just a little bit on the seats. Mm-hmm. Now, the two options I didn't get were there's a rear seat delete.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that because you can easily get that in the aftermarket if you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Recaro seats.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, well, the Recaro seats are cool, but the regular seats are still super comfortable and they're heated and cooled in power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go to the track, you can put in your own racing seat. But if you wanted to ever go find stock seats, that's tough, but putting in a racing seat is super easy.
Yeah,
you know. So I got the most comfortable version. Right, it's got the heated and cooled power seats. It's got super nice.
Got the 480 four cam.
Yeah,
ooh,
it's
nice.
It's still the 5 liter Coyote engine, 480 horse.
Mm-hmm.
It should scoot around pretty good. You know
what do they do with the rear end of that car?
It's an independent rear.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to check for sure to see. I think with the high performance pack, it's got the better diff in it. It's got like a true track or something in it.
Nice.
Or an Eaton or something.
Exciting. Then, you're driving the Volkswagen all electric, pure plug-in?
I was driving the ID4. I just swapped it out. But the ID4 is the all electric. They've done a Golf and a few things, but this is the first ground-up car.
Mm-hmm.
Clean sheet of paper, ID4. It is a small SUV or crossover, whatever we're calling them these days, four-door.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's interesting, but just my thing on... Look, if you get it for its intended purpose, it's going to work perfectly fine, right? It's it's a commuter car. It's not meant to really be exciting, but this version, this launch edition, is rear-wheel drive with about 200 horsepower, but they will have an all-wheel drive 300 horsepower version.
What are you driving now?
I swapped it out for the Volkswagen Taos? Taos? T-A-O-S?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just their conventional, but this has got the tiny motor, the 1.5 liter. It doesn't feel.
Does it have electric boost?
There's nothing electric on it. There's nothing hybrid on it. I'm actually kind of underwhelmed with this one because it really seems like it can't get out of its own way.
Yeah.
Off the line, it just has no power. It's spooling up or whatever.
Yeah.
The electric version of the ID4, I didn't have a problem with, but I'm not sure why we have to make the interior just wildly different and just move gauges over and just have a flat screen and funky shifter controls. Like, to put it in drive and park, it's like a little floppy switch on the side of the gauge cluster, which you can't see when the steering wheel, because steering wheel's in the way. You have to kind of look for it and then feel for it. I don't know why they need to reinvent everything and make it like an iPhone or PlayStation controller.
We're kind of talking about that, which is this sort of false premise that this is what the future looks like when people drive an electric car.
Yeah.
They want to know they're driving an electric car. But my feeling is people, if you think about why do people want an electric car? It's not because their Audi or their Range Rover or their Lincoln SUV has an interior they dislike with sort of conventional positions for engagement and gears and wipers and on off and stereo and stuff. It's not that. It's just they just want to plug it in. If you took most people who drove an Audi SUV and you said, what if we just took your conventional Audi SUV, but we just left everything the same. You just plug it in when
just
you get home at night.
Yeah.
They'd go, I'm down with that. They would be down with that.
And it's interesting that you say that because I have a friend that's a big Porsche collector, and the coolest stuff too, Carrera GT, all the wild cars, and is a fan of the brand and bought the Porsche Taycan and owned it for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, and it was just like, I just can't do it. He's like, I just can't. The ergonomics on the inside and where the switches and what they're trying to do is too funky. But he did say, I am very interested in Audi's version, right? Audi's GT, which is the Audi Taycan, right? It's the all-electric four-door sedan. And Audi is going down that. We want more conventional, the gauges, the switches, and everything. They're kind of just making it like an Audi on the inside.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, this seems more appealing. So he sent back or sold or traded or whatever the Porsche, and it's just waiting for the Audi. It was just too much of a leap, too techy.
Yeah. And, you know, again, at this point with electric cars, we are asking folks, because you know, many of them, or well, if let's say if you're upper scale, like you're an Audi or you're a Porsche, the average age of the guy who's buying the Porsche electric car is 51 and a half. It's not for my kids. It's for the guy who drove a conventional car for the first 35 years of their life, right? Yeah. So you're taking a guy who's used to this sort of conventional architecture, and you're saying, now we have this all new architecture. But what that person is saying is, I really just want an electric car.
Right.
Now, my kids, who are 15, they're going to be doing electric car, but they don't have anything to compare and contrast the interior to, per se.
Yeah, that's a great point. Something like the Volkswagen ID.4 would be good for them. First of all, it is meant to be somewhat of an entry level, 41 grand.
Right. And it would be the only car they know.
Yeah. So as they're getting into it, I mean, sure, they, you know, you taught them to drive a little bit, but once they get behind the wheel by themselves for the first time, having a car, because you're right, now you're starting to pay attention to the switch gear and figuring out what the car is for the first time. You don't have 15 years under your belt or 30 years or
whatever.
Well,
just think how long it took people just switching from a manual transmission to an automatic transmission, where they would, their hand would go down, especially if the automatic was up on the column, you know, their hand would go down and start feeling around, and then there was no shifter there. There was nothing there. It's muscle memory.
And look, and aside from the biggest enthusiasts and the most active high performance cars, so many vehicles come with like paddle shifters, but how many people, I would say, how many people even know there's paddle shifters in their car, and then how many people even use them? Like, I think my mom's RAV4 has paddles on the back. She's just like, I don't even know if I don't want to touch them. I don't know what they do.
I like a spirited drive. I don't touch them. It's kind of an interesting thing, because a RAV4, you'd have to add, you know, several hundred bucks to the unit to get the paddle shifts in. Who's buying RAV4s? Are they spirited drivers?
Yeah.
Do they want to drop a gear and hang a tire and get around that semi-truck on the grapevine? Yeah. I don't think that's your mom.
That's when I've used paddle shifters the most, is usually like on our Monterey trip. And there's a lot of, you know, passing and going back and forth. And I like to drop the gear.
It's not doable, but there is that constant thing in the back of your head that you're going to be going down the grapevine and you're doing 83 miles an hour and you want to drop it and pass it. And there's just that feeling of, I'm going to grab the paddle, I'm going to flip it, it's going to drop it into first gear and the transmission is going to explode in the rear and it's going to lock up. Like, I don't have that full security that I can just hit it and go.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's like, your mom's thought is my thought. Like, I don't want to be sailing down the highway and be grabbing a gear that's the wrong gear.
And there's some electronic fail safes and stuff for that.
Yeah, I know there is, but it still doesn't make me feel confident in
but
grabbing.
But who knows?
It.
I mean, if you're Mike August, you're constantly shifting your automatic.
Shifting and shafting.
Now, he's got a little like Infiniti SUV. It's automatic. I assume it probably has paddles. When he has a paddle shift automatic car, does he hit the paddles as much as he shifts the, because he drives an automatic like a manual.
He shifts everything. And most of the rental cars we get don't have the paddles.
They don't have the paddles.
I can't tell. You know, he wrapped his SUV. Do you know that? Well, he didn't wrap the whole SUV.
Oh, no, he did all the emblems.
No.
Because he had the a white Infiniti.
No, he got the murdered out one. No, he went and gave it a wrap.
Please give it a half wrap.
No, you won't even be able to picture what the wrap is. Chris might be able to find a picture somewhere. But it's the wrap. It's essentially wrapped, partially wrapped. And it looks like a battleship from World War I, and that if you ever see pictures of old battleships, they did these crazy geometric kind of stripes all over the side of them because it was like pre-radar. Everyone just had binoculars.
Yeah.
And if you had a thing that looked like the silhouette of a battleship, then some other ship from some neighboring country who didn't like yours from 20 miles away could get out the binoculars. But if you had all these weird different geometric stripes going on the side of it, then people might have a hard time making it out from a distance. You know, you can have number two on there actually is kind of what we're talking about. It's this battleship of these crazy geometric shapes. And you couldn't, like, is it coming? Is it going? What is it, a destroyer? Is it a battleship? Is it a frigate? Like, you'd have a hard time telling if the weather was a little rough and you were X amount of, you know, nautical miles away. Yeah. That's what Mike did with his Infiniti.
So he basically wrapped it with, like, the concept car camouflage, like when they're testing them on the streets of Detroit.
It's so,
like,
you couldn't tell.
So you couldn't tell the lines. You can't tell, like, where a window stops and a door opens.
Well, I'll find you that so you can laugh. First, I'll tell you about Air Med Care Network. Racing fans, Air Medcare Network is partnering with the Homes for Our Troops and NASCAR to celebrate our country and honor those who fought for our freedom. They're giving away a NASCAR VIP experience in Vegas. Oh, nice. Five winners get two tickets, and they can go to the NASCAR Xfinity Series on September 25th, and two tickets to the South Point 400 NASCAR Cup Series on September 26th, plus a VIP tour with NASCAR. You got it. Air Med Care Network provides medical transportation services, and emergency members pay no out-of-pocket costs for the flight when transported by an AMCN provider. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency air transport, so get your membership and protect your entire household. Right, Matt?
Yeah, hurry for a chance to be a NASCAR VIP at airmedcarenetwork.com/giveaway. There's no purchase necessary to enter to win. Promotion ends July 31st.
All right. Well, maybe we got the picture of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, not quite as crazy as the battleship, but I see. Oh, yeah, the back's a little weird. The back looks like it was wrecked, and he put, bumpers on it, not painted yet.
Yeah, he's got the chevron stripes in the front, but the rear goes a little crazier. He wrapped the apron in flat black. The car's white. One up onto the roof, wrapped half the roof.
He did this on purpose.
He did it on purpose.
I like that the license plate's blurred out. Like, who gives a shit about Mike? Like, of course, now if you see it, it's Mike August's car.
Nobody else would be foolhardy enough to do this to their Infiniti. Yeah.
I think it was...
His wife says she won't drive in the car.
I think it was... I think it was like John Sally years ago in his car. He had like an Audi Q7 and he had like the custom rims and stuff that got attention to it. And then he was like, he goes, the problem is, you know, when you're dating this girl and that girl, they know where your car is parked in front of the other one's house. He goes, it's better to just run stock and not get attention so you can go wherever you want.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Mike's attention grabber.
It's true. If you got a few women stashed around town, you want to just go with the bone stock Camry.
That's it. That's what you want. Prius all the way. Prius.
It is true that... That car, when you do up the rims and you put the battleship wrap on the outside or whatever, that's a calling card. It's out on the street. People know where you are. And as a matter of fact, it's a bygone era, but remember you'd have that buddy and that buddy had the Mustang with the Kragers on it and a couple of things, maybe a side exhaust or some shit. And it's like sometimes you'd be just driving around going, oh, that's Craig. Craig's car's here. Yeah. Where's Craig?
You know,
like,
of course.
He's banging his guma. But the point is you know.
That's right.
You knew
that car. What was your
car
doing in that neighborhood? That was weird. Why were you parked there?
Like, yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting in a world where it's like, Chris drives a white Prius and he can park that shit wherever he wants. It used to be, there was a time.
That's why he's got the white Prius.
When people's cars were like breathed on.
Yeah.
And even if they weren't breathed on, there wasn't really enough, you know, Pontiac Fieros in British Racing Green or something where you just know, oh, that's that dude's car, right? And then it'd be like, oh, that dude's at this restaurant, or that dude's at his girlfriend's house, or or in the parking lot of high school, like, oh, he's at the football game. Like, you know, which is all fine if you're good with him, but if he owed you some money.
That's right. Where's my money, Brian? I guess if you're gonna cheat on your spouse, you should Uber. Although there's probably a history in your account that says where you went to.
Oh, right.
You know,
right,
but at least they'd have to make that extra step of getting into the account access, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you do it, Chris?
It's impossible.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
All right. Let's see. So Monterey's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Got some cars and some auctions and some estimates and some cool stuffs popping up. We've noted there's been a fair amount of like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang mobiles that we weren't interested, but there's been some cool stuff has popped up as of late. So there's, you know, that to look into. I don't know if it's probably not a good sign. I feel like I popped on the maybe I didn't see it. Yeah, like I popped on the Russo Steel Monterey website and they just do this accepting consignments thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of look around a little to see what they've already consigned or what they're talking about. But at this point, and by the way, you know, they have that, '93, '94 McLaren F1.
Right.
There is I think that's on, is that on RM or Gooding? I screw that up every time, but, there's also a couple of really cool old Ferrari, like California 250 Speciale race car.
I think
whatever.
There's another 275 coming up at one of the auctions. What are they, about $2.5-3.5 million?
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. But the thing I was looking at is it had a Ferrari on there that was like $8-10 million, and it had a GT40 Ford that was like $7-9 million or something like that. But On the McLaren, it just said like inquire, like it didn't. They wouldn't put a price. So, meaning it's well over $10 million.
Yeah.
The estimate is 15 on that McLaren, or
is this one?
Yeah. Did they put
in excess of $15 million?
Yeah, I was going to say I thought it was going to be $18 million.
Interesting. Yeah, go to the general website on Gooding and just kind of scroll down, because I just looked at it this morning and it just said, you know, estimate upon request or something. It didn't have it, but now it has an excess of $15 million.
Yeah, where's the docket? Just the regular docket for Pebble Beach. That's on that car. Where's the docket for Pebble Beach?
Yeah, you just have to go to the. You just have to go to the view online Max Baddett, just view online catalog. It'll tell you.
There you go.
It'll tell you what's there.
Yeah. So we got a Ferrari Dino. We got a toy.
I got a few toys.
We got a $35,000 replica.
I always look at those and I'm like, now mad at my dad again. Is there any possible way that would have ended up in your garage when you were a kid?
Okay. By the way, this Porsche. This Rin Speed Porsche, this thing bugs me. This is a slant nose Porsche that got banged in the butt with a Ferrari Testarossa,
right.
Basically, and it just didn't come out well. I like a cool slant nose Porsche, and I like a Testarossa actually. I just don't like these two things smashed together into one vehicle.
Yeah, well, it's also one of these things. You can go back to the page, Chris. It's also one of these things that is like, it's an era thing. Like if you can scroll down, as certain years were better for certain cars. So the 80s were not good for custom design. But when you look at those Ferraris from the 50s, there's a couple of them on there that just look incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so
a lot of Ferraris is cool. They got a couple.
I'm not crazy because the McLaren just has no estimate on the website.
It's only certain pages or in the press release or something. You're right. So it's not all of the information gets up on all of the pages, but
you can keep scrolling down. Sorry. There's a couple of like 50s racing. There's that Ferrari California. Oh, that's 10 to 12. Yeah, right there. The California.
Yeah, long wheelbase, 250 GT.
You're there, Chris.
I don't know if you want me to click or keep
scrolling.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, it's a cool, it is just classic. I mean, it's got the big hood scoop. It's got the front headlights pulled back. It's got the gills, you know, in there. It's just a great looking piece. So it's nice. Some big ticket cars are going to be popping up, and we'll be there. We'll be there in the Porsche's, you know, coming together.
Yeah, there's a GT40. Was that Alan Mann?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, the GT40s are getting so expensive, and I always said those cars were undervalued. And I always thought they were undervalued just because they had a V8, like, you know, pushrod 289 or 427 or whatever sort of American lump in them. But when the Ferraris were going insane, the GT40s were relatively inexpensive. And I kept saying, these cars are cheap. Someone should be buying these cars. They weren't cheap, but they were $3-4 million when the Ferraris were 15. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, those are undervalued. And now, because of the movie or because of Le Mans or because of the new GT40 or the new Ford GT or whatever that thing is, people are now pulling out ones that, like, never raced.
Yeah.
You know, this car was one that was built at the end of the run for the 289s. And so they're getting these tubs from these factories. And I don't know the full story of this Alan Mann Ford GT. But the point is, and I don't want to be dismissive about it. It may have raced a little bit. But what it is they're pulling out the stuff that they never cared about before.
Right.
And they're going, well, you know, this is a Ford GT from the era. It never ran Le Mans. They moved to the bigger engine or the different body style or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so someone went, well, that's not worth anything. But there it is. This unique historically significant GT40 team car, first of two aluminum bodied lightweights built by Alan Mann Racing, driven by Whitmore and Garner. At Sebring, Le Mans test weekend in 1966, documented provenance, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't sound like it ran at Le Mans.
But man, anytime you can even add Le Mans in the body of a paragraph, just so when you Google search it, it comes with keywords that say Le Mans, they're just trying to add some. Look, they're still saying $7 to $9 million.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. And that's why, remember our friends over at the Shelby Museum a couple years back when the third place car from the, you know, famous triple Ford GT, you know, that thing sold for $9 million or whatever like that. I was like, that's still cheap.
Yeah.
For that car.
Yeah. I remember we were there. We were, I don't know, filming something, I think, for Going Racing, which is coming up soon on Chassis or on Pluto TV, by the way. We talked about it. We're like, yeah, it felt a little light. I mean, it's tough to say it's a little light when a car is like $9.7 million, but it felt like it should have been 13.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. It just kind of was an interesting. I think it was the gold one.
Here's something to look for, Max Zapata. I think it was Gooding. It always could be Gooding or RM, but they had a red open seat, you know, convertible, like 1956, 57 Maserati race car. They're kind of cool little pieces. I think the estimate was like 3 to 4.5 or 3.5 to 4.5 or something like that. But they're now a little more like doing this thing where they go, This car was sold in Jacksonville, Florida to Burt Connor for $7,000 in 1973. You know, and I'm like, well, your estimate says $4 million. And I get it.
Yeah.
But I still don't like the idea of, I don't know, maybe it's like the steakhouses do it. You know, they threw the throwback menu from 1929 and they just show you right. that the porterhouse was $1.45. And mm-hmm. but then you're looking at the current menu and the guy went $67 and you're like, I don't know if I want to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting information, but I have to think about the fact that at some point this car that I may be raising my paddle for $4.2 million, at some point someone got it for $7,000.
That's right.
And yeah. my dad was alive and so was I. Yeah, that's the yeah. car. It's a cool.
Now, on some hand you want to go, "Oh, you're a genius. You got this car for $7,000. You held on to it." But then there's the guy that inherited the car, had nothing
guy.
To do with it, and is pissed because he got $9 million a bid and he wanted $10,500.
You can keep
free money.
That guy. You can keep scrolling down. We'll tell you the story. Or maybe it's a slice of hit the read more. Maybe it's a slice of genius in that you're saying, hey, in 1970 this thing sold for $7,000. Mm-hmm. Now we're asking $4,000. But think about the growth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, where does it go from here? It's been keep going up.
Do that math. Yeah, you can find it. First, I will tell you about J.B. Weld. That's what I want to talk about. DIYers and pros have trusted J.B. Weld for 50 years plus for projects big and small, home or garage. It's the world's strongest bond. We're proud to have J.B. Weld Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner, hung out with these guys. They're good people. And whatever you're working on, automotive, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more, JB Weld. And you can use it on metal, wood, glass, ceramics. I use it on stone in front of my house, by the way. I use it to fix Sonny's shoe. I use it to fix Natalia's stupid freezer face roller thing. I still don't know what it's called. Anyway, keep it in the kitchen drawer or your crafts drawer. JB Weld also acquired Herculiner. It's the original DIY bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, you go with Herculiner. Right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
So this car was, first owner was named Gaylord, number one. So you know it's an older car.
And not a really popular name these days.
He got it from Shelby in Dallas. And I think if you scroll down, you'll see some original weird prices. Oh, yeah. The Maserati was purchased for $6,000 in complete form, but was dirty. And this is the 70s, right? And so the guy got out some rubbing compound and some carnauba wax and a little Armor All, which probably didn't exist back then. And then he sold that thing for $16,000.
He's like, sweet. Slam dunk.
But
puffed it out, made $10,000.
That's right. $11,000. But now he probably wishes he just kept it in its original form is what I'm saying. Yeah, so where do you come down on giving the old prices?
You know, it's a good story, but if you're... Look, I think this story is more attractive to everybody who's not bidding on the car, which is most people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting to see it. Look, we talked to Peter Brock at one point. I think Chris and I were at Pete Brock's house for one of his SEMA parties, and he talked about how, you know, Shelby was saying, hey, the races are over. We got these cars. You know, we brought them back from Le Mans or whatever racing, manufacturers' championships. We got to sell them. And I don't know. He was like, they're $8,000. And people were like, nah. And he's like, oh, I'll knock it down to $5,000. Everyone's like, you're out of your mind. And nobody wanted them. And now they're worth millions. So Pete Brock is still standing there going, we never capitalized on this. We never knew where these cars were going to go. So in that respect, yeah, they didn't know at the time the $6,000 Maserati would end up being worth a ton of money.
Yeah, do you think they put it because they're just showing you, look how much it's inflated since then?
Imagine. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, why would it stop?
Yeah.
You know, in the 1970s, it was $6,000. Now it's $4 million. Yeah. But you got young kids.
Yeah.
Where's it going to be in 2044?
That's right. In another 20 years from now or 25 years from now, is that story going to progress? Is it going to be like $6,000, $4 million, $7.5 million? It's like, it's kind of interesting. I don't mind it
no,
too much.
I enjoy it. I've seen it a little bit more these days, and I'm a little, and I think it used to be foreboding.
I think the point of them doing that is it's a way
or verboten, right?
It's a way for them to say, this is a pretty well-documented car.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because we know this information, and documentation it creates so much value for these types of cars. So if somebody, you know, even nowadays when you go, hey, you know, Bob Sharp or whatever, we want to buy a car from you, can we get a letter from you saying that you're selling it to us and whatever, you know, just mm-hmm. like there's that other little piece of authenticity that you want other than just say a bill of sale.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Agreed. All right, so Nissan's going to announce a Nismo version of the Z.
Well, that's the rumor. You know, we saw the new Z, the prototype,
mm-hmm.
and the ZCon event is coming up right after Monterey Car Week in Colorado. It's going to be a great event out there, and I believe they have scheduled the first production car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just this is exactly the way it's going to be. But the rumor now is they could have very sooner rather than later a Nismo version like they did of the GTR and the 370Z.
Mm-hmm.
But they also may be doing a track-only GT4 version, mm-hmm. I believe. So mm-hmm. it could be interesting. They want to get into racing. A hotter version of the Nissan Z could be available, I don't know, almost immediately, if not a year after the regular version.
Mm-hmm.
But look, Corvette C8 hit the market, and Corvette Z06 is coming out pretty soon, I think as a 2023 model.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't Nissan try to have something kind of special?
What's the Z06 going to have going for it?
The Z06 you're actually going to like because, Chris, you can find that little sound clip. Z06 is going to be naturally aspirated, 5.5-liter dual overhead cam, flat plane crank V8. It sounds sick. It just sounds fantastic.
What do you think the red line is on it?
It's got to be well into the eights. It's got to be 86,
well
88.
Well into the eights.
Maybe, yeah. I just think, look, Ford did it with the GT350, the modern day version, the mm-hmm. and the R model. Now, they have some vibration issues and stuff with that, and if GM's getting it worked out, you can hear some of the clips. You gotta. Here's just a sound teaser.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Now it's sounding good, right? Like mm-hmm. that. The other noise in that video is because it's a teaser and they got some graphics going on, which you can't see unless you go watch it. But yeah, that high revving, high winding really starts to sound good.
Yeah, well, it was my kind of initial, and it wasn't a great financial strategical move on my part, but the Ford GT when they came back in 05 or 04, 05, whatever that was. Those cars are starting to climb now, by the way. They flattened out at 275 to 3 for a good 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're zooming past 3. And so, you know, at $150, $150,000 sticker, that would have been a good investment. I was looking at one of those cars pretty clearly, pretty closely, and I thought it was cool. Just didn't like the supercharger aspect of it. I just felt like this is a kind of Euro-designed car. I liked that, you know, high-revving, mid-engine vibe. And, you know, I know they wanted to get the horsepower and they wanted to get it pretty cheaply and pretty easily and pretty reliably. But I was just like, these cars never had a supercharger on them.
Yeah.
And cars don't really race with superchargers unless you go back to, I don't know, the 30s and a blown Bentley or something like that. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple out there, but nothing. You know, I'm thinking either naturally aspirated, possibly turbocharged, which is funny because that was the next iteration.
Yeah.
But the big supercharger bolted on there, it just felt very quarter miley to me. And look, no doubt the car works and I should have bought it. But it was like, I just like, it doesn't feel that European. I want like a higher revving.
Yeah.
Not so interested in the lower end and the torque. I want the higher bandwidth, you know, on the horsepower. And I wanted that four cam, you know, fuel injected aluminum block, you know, aluminum head kind of a Euro vibe to it. Also, I'll tease this. Kind of makes me wonder. This is kind of thinking about it while you're talking about the mid-mounted engine, and there's no doubt the Z06 is going to work, and that's great. Any thought of going with a flat configuration, you know, of getting the weight down, getting the whole thing down, like just moving everything down, and then you go, flat, it's kind of weird, you know, it's very un-American, but, you know, Porsche won a few races in its day, and, you know, the Ferrari's done some flat stuff. I mean, the coolest, probably arguably the coolest engine ever built were the 917 Porsche engines.
Yeah.
They were flat, you know, like, I'll tease that. I'll let you think about it. First, I'll tell you about Empire Covers. Your vehicle should be treated with the respect it deserves. Unfortunately, the elements, they don't take days off. They don't take weekends or holidays. They're always there. EmpireCovers.com is where you go. It's high-quality, affordable covers engineered to protect against rain, UV rays, tree sap, pollen, anything Mother Nature can throw your way. Our listeners get 15% off with the promo code CARCAST. And if you're worried about the car's finish and the cover damaging it, Empire, they have a fleece-lined cover. Their covers are fleece-lined. Prevent any scratches to your car's paint. One American-made, good. The American Armor covers, proudly made in their Kentucky factory. Plus covers for RVs, boats, motorcycles, and more. Empire covers, right, Matt?
You know, CarCast listeners can receive free shipping plus an extra 15% off their entire order. Visit empirecovers.com/carcast or simply use the promo code CARCAST at checkout. It's Empire Covers. Protect what you love. I don't know enough about the flat configuration if what were some of its flaws. Like you explained some of the benefits, weight and packaging and things like that, but
overall height too probably might help a little bit.
You know, maybe it doesn't make enough low-end torque, or maybe it's got some vibration issues or some reliability things. Like, there could be some issues with that, which is also, we're still trying to overcome some of those things in the flat plane crank V8s. It sounds like Ferrari has mastered it for a while, but and Ford took a stab at it. It's fine. It's just there's a couple little issues with that engine. GM is doing it. But when they came out with the C8 Corvette, they knew they were going to have iterations of this car, and they knew they were going to be racing it. And this engine is, I think there's a lot of shared technology with this naturally aspirated engine with their racing car.
Are they going outside like way back in the day when they had Yamaha or whatever?
I don't think Marine
worked on the engine. What was that? The Yamaha heads and
Was that the ZR1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had like Yamaha heads and the rest of it was done by whatever Marine or something.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that with this.
I don't know. One of the Marines. Ask your brother.
Yeah.
He'll know.
He's driving a boat from Savannah, Georgia to South Florida.
Really?
Yeah. It's like 2 days. You camp on the boat. I mean, it's a 60-foot yacht, but...
Wow.
Yeah, delivered it to a customer. So I called him. I was like, where are you? He's like, I'm Savannah. I'm getting on a boat. I'm going to drive. I'll call you in a few days. I was like, okay.
Wow.
But, you know, we have the base C8. We have this hotter version of the Z06 with the with the naturally aspirated version. But it's very likely we could see a ZR1 that is a supercharged version. So sort of a small, medium, and large, or different purpose. Do you want the hot naturally aspirated version with, I don't know, 550 horsepower or something, and then do you want the, I don't know, 650 or 700 horsepower supercharged version? And if you think a little bit like what Mustang did recently with, even now with the Mach 1, we have GT, 4G, or Mustang GT, then we have Mach 1, and then we have GT500 supercharged with crazy power. So I think Corvette's going to kind of follow that as well.
Yeah. I'd I'd probably opt for the lesser horsepower but the higher RPMs.
I mean, that noise alone is going to be a huge selling point. Every C8 they sold is going to get traded in. Everyone that they've sold so far is going to be traded in for that, because that noise is amazing.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll be able to do engine swaps. Probably wouldn't be worth it.
Well, listen, I mean, who knows better than someone like a Ken Lingenfelter? He's got like six C8s already for various developments, supercharged, naturally aspirated programs, drag racing, handling. And I'm sure when this comes out, he's going to start working on stuff like this as well. But I'm telling you, everybody keeps saying it is such a great, like, easy car to drive, comfortable car to drive, and then ends up being one of the best performing, one of the best handling cars, especially for the buck. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting for sure.
There's also the Rivian. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Rivian. Those
are the trucks.
The Rivian trucks are the electric trucks that it caught a lot of attention because there was a big investment. It's all electric. They got the pickup truck and the SUV. It looks kind of cool. And they got big investments from Amazon and from Ford.
Oh, right.
And most recently, Jeff Bezos went to space and he landed, and they all had to go out to his capsule to get him. And it was just like Rivians and Raptors. Everybody pulled up in Ford and Rivian trucks.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, that was the buzz, was, you know, the crew was going to get him and then in Texas. And then when he went out like a month or so ago to look at the facility, and he did a little docu video kind of thing, he was driving a Rivian on the way out there. So, anyway, we're unfortunately getting into this. I don't know how this is becoming commonplace with so many car companies these days, but delayed. It's delayed. They were supposed to deliver this month. It's going to be another couple of months before they can deliver.
What was your Mustang delayed, all told? I know it's a chip issue.
May, March, April, May, June, July. Like three or four months.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. But as the chips start to trickle in, the car companies are definitely putting them into the high volume and high margin vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I got a Mustang delivered because they allowed some of the chip allocation to get in there. Mm-hmm. But most of the recent chips delivered to Ford are going in F-150s.
Right.
Right, because they sell a million of those. They're high margin, stuff like that. But let me tell you guys about GEICO real quick. Do you own your home or rent your home? Well, either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. What else going on?
We got our passes for Pebble. Mm. We're on the docket for Pebble Beach. Also got a lovely invitation from our friends at Acura to go to one of the events we love there, the Acura party. I guess they call it an Acura party, but they always debut something there.
I can already hear the conversation. Sonny, you got to wear pants.
Yeah.
Why? But they're called sweatpants. They got to wear, no, pants, regular pants. Sweatpants are pants. No, they're not pants. We're going to the Acura party.
Yeah.
Jewel could be playing.
That's right.
We need pants.
Yeah. Well, he'll put pants on, and then he'll still show up with like a fluorescent day glow green Under Armour shirt with his slacks.
Jose, you have to wear a shirt with a collar. But this shirt's black. Yeah, right. But it's just a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You got to have a shirt with a collar.
It's just a cleaner version of the shirt you wear every day in the shop.
I didn't pack a shirt with it. Sean told you to pack it. I got a black T-shirt. It's a weird cultural thing, right? Like, you're going out of town. You're going to some of the richest real estate on the planet. It's going to be, you know, maybe the Quail, maybe the Jet Hanger party, maybe the Acura party, whatever. It's going to be a bunch of, you know, chamber music and cheese and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're told. Now, by the way, at age 42, I don't know why you need to be told, hey, bring a shirt that's got a collar on it.
Right.
I don't know why you have to have that conversation, but that conversation's had. And he's got a black, but it's a weird cultural thing. I think it's a Hispanic thing where you think a black T-shirt without gravy on it is cocktail attire.
That's
like,
right.
It's not, that isn't dress attire. Just because it's not fucked up because it doesn't have Bondo on the front of it. Doesn't mean it's a dress shirt.
Also,
it's still a T-shirt.
He knows where we're going. He's not going to the Acura party to funnel a beer. Like, he knows it's going to be champagne out of a flute.
You know? Is he doing that thing where if you see a guy in just a shirt and just pants, and go, how did he get in? Oh, he must be somebody.
Well, look, he's not Vin Diesel. He's Jose, right? He can't just walk in with a wife beater but really expensive Prada glasses. If listen, if Jose can walk in with his black T-shirt and a $70,000 Patek Philippe watch, he can pull it off.
Right.
Right?
Agreed. He's not.
But he doesn't. It's not going to happen.
I've seen those guys at like funerals and weddings where it's like, I got a T-shirt. They're like, You do not have a shirt with a in the world of Old Navy and Amazon, like for $12, you can get a pretty nice XXL button down, something with a collar on it.
There's an Old Navy going out of business on the promenade. You can get two of them for $12.
Is it a statement or is it just like, I don't, here's what I do?
He's got to have a collared shirt somewhere. It's not like it doesn't exist. He's got one. He just didn't think to bring it.
But he was warned to bring
it. Yes. Yes, he was warned to bring it. Look, what are you going to do?
All right. Well, maybe he should go check out Mack Weldon. That's what I
there
think.
There you go.
Kick summer off in style with the brand that's reinventing men's basics. Mack Weldon. So much more than just underwear. Full collection includes T-shirts, polos, are you listening, Jose? Button-ups, shorts, pants, swimwear, and more. Light and breathable fabric. The technology keeps you cool and comfortable all summer. Whether you're at work or working out, happy hour, or playing with the kids, you got to go with Mack Weldon. The stuff is top shelf. It is so much better than the stuff you're used to.
I just ordered three Mack Weldon polo shirts getting ready for Monterey.
They got chino shorts and radius shorts as well. Weldon Blue, by the way, totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. Level 2 means 20% off every order for the next year. It's Mack Weldon, right, Matt?
You know, stay cool this summer and look great while doing it with all new collection of men's essentials from Mack Weldon. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com/carcast and enter the promo code CARCAST on checkout. That's mackweldon.com/carcast. Promo code CARCAST gets you 20% off. It's Mack Weldon. They're reinventing men's basics.
So we got the Acura party.
Yeah.
That's good. I wonder who their entertainment will be.
I don't know, but they're going to let Sonny in. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly his attitude.
Then we got, what else we got?
We've got Pebble. We're working on, we're trying to get into the Quail. It mm-hmm. seems like they keep tightening their belt year after year.
Mm-hmm.
The strategy is we'll get Gordon McCall on the show and sweet talk him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Datsun fan.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah. I was also trying to figure out the Jet Hanger part. I can't remember if it's 21 and up or 18 and up or whatever it was. But we'll see if we can smuggle Sonny into that.
There's a toss-up. Like, Sonny, can he go if he's dressed well and underage? Or does Jose go if he's dressed like a like he's working in the shop? But he is of age. It's a little tough.
Mm.
What's more important to them, the age or the dress code?
I don't know.
It's hit or miss because who knows?
Do we think it'll be back in full force? I mean, we think it'll be at full capacity?
You know, if you asked me a week or two ago, I would say absolutely yes. People are so motivated to do this, but who knows what's going on with California. I just, Gavin Newsom's changing the rules on the fly. Mm-hmm. So I can't say for sure. I still have a good feeling about it. And I think at this point, all of these companies and the facilities are invested into this that there's no shutting it down. If anything, maybe some people will feel a little cautious and go, I'm going to back out. I'm not going to go this year. But it just means more cheese for us.
Yeah, I don't.
I think it's going to be
if busy. I know car guys, they're there.
Well, first of all, everything is outside. Pretty much, right? Every party we go to, every event we go to, Pebble, Quail, the track, everything.
Jet Hangar. You know, everything.
Concorso.
It's all outdoors.
Everything's outdoors. It's just a beautiful time to be walking around outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the most indoor thing there is the auctions have a tent.
Right.
You know, with a big fan.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. I think everybody should just, go and have a good time. It should be fine.
Yeah, I agree. The weather's always spectacular. The track's always fantastic. And once in a while, it gets a little warm down in the infield. But other than that, it's pretty awesome. We should definitely get our passes to go check out the auctions as well.
Yeah.
And just counting the damn days, man. Because somehow that taking last year off just didn't get that fix in, you know. Mm-hmm. By the way, we could have done this shit last year. It's all fucking outdoors.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yuck.
It'll be exciting to take the Porsche out, the 911 S. John Hotchkiss stopped by. He had some thoughts on the car. He's very well versed in that car.
I didn't hear any specific thoughts out of him.
On the ride height and alignment and stuff. He's actually he's getting us the spring rates and alignment specs off of another car. But even
off
just
his RSR,
I believe so. But his brother Mark is very well versed, and I think he's like the lead instructor, by the way, over at the Porsche Experience Center. But as far as lowering it, the lower control arm, he's like, as long as it's level, and anything if it starts angling, it's too low. But he did say that those cars have quite a bit of body roll, which is why they sat a little high.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is going to feel a little lighter in the front. Excuse me. Then your 935 would. It's a different animal when it comes to the turbo cars and whatnot. And certainly, you know, and this 911S has the RSR rear fenders, but not the front fenders. You're actually running smaller tire in the front, a massive tire in the back. So again, with the traction in the back, but with a little lighter on the nose. So it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, at least the first few laps.
Well, it'll be interesting to talk to Hotchkiss, both of them, about setting that car up in spring rates and how to drive it and what to expect and all that as well. And I think his brother has that, they have that Wins RSR, I think it is.
Right.
Hey, put in...
They've got the other Porsche, and then the RSR I thought was white. I think theirs was white. I don't know
if
it's... Put
in Hotchkiss Porsche RSR and see what photos come up. I think it was the Wins, or they had the Wins and they sold it.
That was the purple car. That was the...
Yeah. I can't remember. They had one. They
Maybe
sold
it
or something like that. There you go.
Yeah.
That's kind of the one I'm thinking of. And
See the front fenders?
Yeah, it's more of a flare. But his brother was able to hustle that car around the track pretty fast. So
very, very, very fast.
Should ask him about
that. So he's going to have some little bit of input on that. And then, in the GTU class that it ran in back in the day, he was saying the 2.5 liter, it was a buggy motor. It vibrated a lot as well. And the shifter was real bad. It was a lot of people went from fourth to first.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed on your car that the shifter has been changed, so that's good. And then I actually went back and looked at the specs when we got the car, and it is a 3 liter with about 360 horse last time it was dyno'd, and he said that should really, really run good for you.
All right, let me hit Roman last but not least. Squeaky door, clogged sink, finicky engines, like maybe you're running the 2.5.
Yeah.
When things break, you fix it, but what about when something's off in the bedroom? You try not to think about it. Well, go to GetRoman.com/CarCast and do it now for a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED. From the comfort and privacy of your own home, a U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan if medication is appropriate. It'll be sent with free two-day shipping. Get started. It's easy and it's simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/CarCast and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. It's Roman, right, Matt?
Yeah, as you said, go to GetRoman.com/CarCast now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, get started today, and you'll save $15 off your first order of ED treatment.
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows, because we're coming up in Michigan, and we're coming up in Minneapolis and Kansas City and Chicago, all over the place. And you can check out our chassis channel on Pluto TV. We got tons of great automotive stuff, and it's all free. It's channel 687. We're going to have some more going racing stuff up there as well. What do you got, Motor Raider?
The cars that we're testing and things like that. So check us out. Follow me at Motor Raider on social media, and I'll post some more stuff.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt the Motor Raider, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Hey Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.